Brad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You were waiting for me to respond.
I was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I had a lot of fun last time.
Last time we recorded the show.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I thought that was a good episode.
Yeah. So I came a little more prepared this time.
Okay, that's good news.
I also have a title for us.
That's also good news.
Well, and so I think that the show...
Wait, hold on. That's not good news. What do you mean a title?
Well, what was last week's title?
For Brad's Sake.
For Brad's Sake. That's not a very good title.
Are you joking? That's our entire new branding scheme.
Yeah, well, I'm going to replace it this time because it's my episode, baby.
Yeah, that's how this works. All right.
This week, it's going to be all about fun, more fun bits. And so this episode title is called Funcast, the podcast where we do things that are fun.
Is that the title? That's the whole title.
What
part of that is the title?
All of it.
Okay, so give me the full... For Brad's sake. Do we need to... I'm still going to try to make that work. Do we...
Wait, I'm not done yet.
Oh. Keep going.
Never mind. No, it's fine. No, you're good.
Far be it from me to halt you in your tracks. What else did you have to say?
I just think it's a good title, and I want to see what the hell you can pull out for a theme song related to that.
Oh. Fun, 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 fun. We're gonna have fun on the Funcast, Funcast, fun, fun. Everyday fun, so much fun on the Funcast, Funcast, fun, fun. Off the wall fun, can't escape fun on the Funcast, Funcast. Please don't doubt me, please believe me when I say we're having fun. It wouldn't make much sense for us not to have fun, but we wanted to make sure that we could clear it up for everyone. So we called our show the Funcast, the podcast where we do things that are fun. With Ricky and Brad.
All right, edit point. And go.
I'm supposed to start?
No, that was an end go for me. Hi. This is Funcast, the podcast. Shit, hang on. Edit point.
No, that's going in.
This is the Funcast, the podcast where we do things that are fun with Ricky and Bradley. I'm your host. Now you introduce me.
Ricky?
Yes.
You say I'm your host and I say Ricky?
Yeah.
It's a train wreck.
Stop insulting my episode.
Oh, I thought we were having fun.
We are having fun. Are you not having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Good.
This is my co-host, Ricky. He's still doing things for the first time that most people did for the first time back in college. I won't elaborate.
Oh, you mean because I went to the place.
Yeah, you went to the place that people go.
Yeah.
But like in college.
Yeah.
And you did it now.
You're right. Yeah.
It was a good time.
Yeah, it was fun. This is Bradley, my co-host. What have I learned about you recently? This is Bradley, my co-host. He got a promotion recently.
Yeah.
And that's cool. Everyone clap for him. I'm going to clap into the mic. Hopefully that sounds good.
All right.
And here we are, back at your favorite podcast, where this week it's led by me. And I planned things this time.
Yeah, you got fun planned?
I've got fun planned.
Okay. I'm ready.
How you doing?
Oh, well, presumably I'm having fun, but I'm not. It hasn't hit me yet.
Yeah.
But I'm ready though.
You're ready. Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready. How am I doing? I'm ready for fun. How are you doing, Ricky?
I'm doing good. Maybe not as good as I was before we started this, but
am I already bringing down the fun mood?
Mm-mm, no. It's nothing but fun, and I can tell you're having a blast. Today, you remember last time I hosted, or planned, we both host, we had the Popic Topic time?
Yeah, the famous Popic Topification of our show.
I have a new title for it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And it's going to be Pop Goes the Culture, a segment where Brad and I talk about pop culture that I'm subjecting him to.
I wouldn't have anticipated this reaction, but I liked Topic better.
Well, it's changing every time.
All right. Pop goes. What is the culture that we're popping today, Ricky?
Well, I thought that we could have a better discussion if we maybe prepared ahead of time. So I sent Brad some reading and listening material this week to read and listen to before the show. And this week we'll be talking about music and Star Wars, one of my favorite things, and one of your favorite things. Mine being Star Wars and yours being music.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how I felt about having homework before recording an episode, but now that you put it that way, you're being thoughtful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, of course, we'll be talking about jizz in Star Wars this week.
Well, naturally.
Yes. Brad, could you give the audience an overview of what jizz is?
Yeah, absolutely. Jizz is the musical genre in Star Wars that is common typically in, would you say, like pub culture or bar culture?
Yeah.
Sort of a laid-back, loungy sort of vibe.
Yeah.
The closest thing you could find to this style of music in our world, if there were something that were similar, would be maybe jazz.
No, I don't think so.
But that's an imperfect comparison.
Yeah, yeah. It's more fun, and it's got aliens in it, and that's cool.
Oh, that's why we're talking about it this week. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly. See, it's fun.
Yeah.
The theme.
Nobody's ever had more fun than they've had while listening to jizz.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So one of the things I had you read was a Twitter thread from @MNateShyamalan. I just looked at that username for the first time, and I hate it. But this thread was him reacting to the fact that he didn't know that the style of music in Star Wars was called jizz. And so did you know this ahead of time before reading these materials that it was called jizz?
No, I will say that this Twitter thread that you're mentioning, and I'm so glad that we've credited the Twitter user whose handle you despise.
I mean, I'm sorry, Nate, but
so thank you for the content, Nate. Nate with the bad handle.
Maybe cut that part out.
I had seen that thread before you sent me that thread.
Gotcha.
So I will say, like, I've had time to ruminate on this information for a while before you sent it to me. But before then, no, I'm not nearly plugged in enough to the Star Wars expanded universe to know these things, Ricky.
Yeah. See, I'm a big old nerd and like that stuff, so seeing the world discover that it was called jizz was very entertaining to me.
Was this something you knew already?
Oh yeah, because it's in the books for some reason. I don't know why they chose to call that out. As it mentioned in the Wikipedia article, it was first mentioned in the Return of the Jedi novelization.
How old would you say you were when you first read a Star Wars expanded universe novel that used the word jizz?
Probably late teens, like senior in high school.
Okay.
Type age.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So old enough to get it.
Yeah, old enough to understand that it's meant to be similar to jazz.
Yeah, exactly.
The one thing that there is to understand about the name.
That honestly was my first thought. Like, I was like, oh, it's jazz, but it's supposed to sound spacey.
And spacey it sounds.
Yeah, so I also sent you a couple famous pieces to listen to. They were, of course, the Cantina Band, the very aptly named Cantina Band 2, both of which appear in A New Hope. And then there was, I think it's called Lopty Neck, which is in the original unedited Return of the Jedi, which was then replaced, or maybe it might also be in the updated Return of the Jedi, but added to the updated Return of the Jedi was Jedi Rocks, which is a lot of people's favorite. So what were some of your favorites? What were your thoughts on the jizz music you listened to?
Hey there, this is Editor Brad checking in quickly. You might think you haven't met me before, but if you had heard the audio of these podcast episodes before I edited them, you would know that you and I have spent a lot of time together before now. A lot of time. I just wanted to check in and give a little bit of context about the conversation that we're about to have. We are going to talk a lot about Star Wars. If you're not interested in that at all, I recommend that you skip ahead 20 minutes. If you're extremely interested in that, maybe skip ahead about 2 minutes. If you're a little bit interested, but you feel like you're gonna get lost, stick with me here. I'm gonna give you some context. In the next section, we will be discussing the infamous scene in Jabba's palace in Star Wars Return of the Jedi, Episode 6. A lot of controversy around this scene. Turns out there's two different versions. The first version, the original version, lots of puppets, cool song, good scene. And then years later, George Lucas came back around and replaced a couple of things. Replaced the song. He replaced some of the puppets with some probably unnecessary CGI. Made a lot of people unhappy along the way. And that's what we're going to be talking about here. The first song comes from the original version of that scene and is called Lopty Neck. Don't know what that means, but here we go. This next song comes from the remastered. This next song comes from the remastered version of that scene. In this version, the song is called Jedi Rocks, and it's performed by a couple of CGI weirdos. Let's give it a listen. All right, if that doesn't give you an idea of what we're talking about, then I really can't help you, and frankly, can't really help myself. Let's go ahead and return back to our conversation here. You know, I'm tempted to jump right to the hot button topic here.
Oh, go for it.
Because I know for a fact that Jedi Rocks is not favored among the fandom.
Oh, no.
Folks don't like that song. I have thoughts about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to make some people very angry.
Yeah.
That song's great.
That's great.
That song is phenomenal.
Yeah.
The song is not what's That song is not what's wrong with that scene.
Uh-huh.
What's wrong with that scene is the atrocious CGI that's plastered over a bunch of neat-looking puppets.
And you know the one lady with the long legs and the long snout?
Oh, yeah, with the lips at the very end of her little flute mouth.
Yeah, Sai Snoodles, everyone's favorite. She originally was an absolutely horrific-looking puppet, and they replaced her with that sexy CGI, and I missed the puppet, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, the puppets are meant to be weird and gross and mildly terrifying.
Though,
that's part of the charm of the original trilogy.
Yeah. Honestly, though, that shot of, like, the weird bug man when you see down his throat and there's all the spit and all that, we don't need that.
No. No. We don't need any. Well, that's... So I guess that's... I'm sure everyone would agree about these things. Like, this is not the controversial part of my take.
Uh-huh.
The controversial part of my take is that if it weren't for those completely unnecessary CGI additions, people would be fine with that song.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly good song. I was having a good time.
It's in Huttese. It's fun.
Oh, is that, that's the language that, that's the language of the performance?
Well, yeah, it's, you know, it's the language of the huts, but it, because the huts are so big in the underground, they tend to, a lot of people in the criminal world tend to speak Huttese, and sing in it too.
Oh, huh. I'm learning things.
Yeah, you're learning things. The song that, who's the guy who did the music for Moana?
God, you know, it...
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah.
He and J.J. Abrams wrote a song for their cantina scene. I don't know if it's jizz or not, but it's written in Huttese. Lin-Manuel Miranda said he went to the official Huttese website, but all of that is non-canon, so I'm calling you out, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Making another podcast enemy
here. I am, yes.
That's okay. I mean, we like Lin-Manuel, but apparently not in this very specific context.
This is a separate topic, but I don't know if I'm a fan of the songs in Moana except the one, but that's a different topic. Excuse me, that's a different Pop Goes the Culture topic.
Pop rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, it does.
Pop goes the culture topic.
Yeah, and pop goes that topic out of this culture.
Yep. Nothing more fun than essentially a class on the deep lore of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Moving on to our next fun topic.
Well, we're not done talking about the music you listen to. Keep going. I want to hear more of your thoughts.
Oh, class isn't over.
No, it's not.
Hey there. Editor Brad stepping back in to give a little bit more context about what we're about to talk about. We are stepping back in time in the Star Wars universe timeline to discuss Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. A New Hope? Am I getting that right? I think that's right. I don't know. You know how to use your Wikipedia. These next couple of songs that we're about to discuss come from the cantina scene where Han famously shot first. Or shot second? Shot later than that? I don't really know. A lot of debate about that. Don't care a whole lot. This first song we're about to hear is Cantina Band. Let's give it a listen. And this second clip comes from the somewhat confusingly named Cantina Band 2. Here we go. These two songs occur before and after Han either shot first or last. That context may or may not have been very helpful for you, but I thought I would at least give it a go. Now I will take you back to what I would like to remind you is very aptly named the Funcast, the podcast where we do things that are fun. It's good music. I don't know. It's a fun time.
Yeah.
I do like, I know enough about the scene from which those first two pieces are taken to think it's sort of funny that the first song is upbeat and just like a good dancing fun time, and second piece is still upbeat, but perhaps trepidatious is maybe the right word.
I think that's a good description.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. To the extent that jizz can be trepidatious.
Yeah, exactly.
This piece was trepidatious.
Were you aware that there were two?
Two
different cantina songs?
I don't know if I would have known that if I purchased a copy of the soundtrack, there would be two separate pieces, but I think if I were to think about that scene, I probably would have remembered that they were playing something beforehand and then playing something afterwards.
Yeah, That makes sense. I just know that, I know there's two because I played a lot of Star Wars Galaxies in my youth. I role-played as Samus Aran in Star Wars. She was a Jedi. It didn't make sense because she's a bounty hunter in Metroid, so why wouldn't I have played as a bounty hunter? But anyways, I hung out in the cantina a lot, and they played both of those songs, and I was like, oh, there's another one. Which brings me to my next topic, still related to Star Wars. Were you intrigued by any of the jizz instruments or the name of a jizz aficionado or player?
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of standouts. I know that there was the jizz box, which is a little on the nose.
Yeah.
What was it? What was the one guy's name? No one can get enough of the one guy.
Max Rebo?
No. The other guy.
Figrin Dan?
Mr. Feelgood or something. Lousy Larry?
I actually don't know what you're talking about.
Droopy
McCool.
Droopy McCool.
Yes, who I believe plays the clue horn. I'm not going to fact check that.
Yeah, Droopy McCool, who I don't know. I think I may have actually done a deeper dive than you in preparation for this episode, because I clicked through to his article.
Yeah.
And he had too much of a backstory.
Good.
It was not entertaining. And it was at least 37 paragraphs long.
That's Star Wars for you. You did
just like weird
more of a deep dive than I did.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I did. I just know him because he's got a weird name, and when you look at him, I don't know where his face starts or ends.
Where his face starts and his ball sack ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of doing a deeper dive than you.
Yeah.
Did you see some of these surprising Star Wars franchise entries that were cited as containing jizz?
No, I didn't.
They were at least four different Lego Star Wars video games with jizz.
So presumably those games actually name, like, call out that it's called jizz at some point.
It wasn't
clear. Why else would they cite it, you know?
It wasn't clear. My best guess is that there's a Lego version of an already famous jizz song.
Yeah.
I really struggle to imagine that the made-for-children Lego Star Wars video games would be brazen enough.
Yeah.
To just flat-out use the word jizz in reference to the music that these 8-year-olds are listening to.
Yeah. Well, but okay, so that brings me to my final question, though, which is just why? I understand that it's like, oh, jizz, it's like jazz, but like spacey. But like, and like, I guess I don't even know, like, if he's to blame for this, but what the hell was George Lucas thinking? Like, did he know?
I'm going to turn the question back around on you, because okay. You know a lot more about the Star Wars universe than I do. How many times have you heard about a decision that George Lucas actively made and asked yourself why?
Good point.
And in light of the many, many times that that's probably happened to you, why would this be the last straw?
I'm not calling it the last straw. It's just one of those things that I'm just like, George, like, another one.
Hey there, folks. Editor Brad coming in one more time. Sorry if I'm less useful than I was the last couple of times. I've had a couple of drinks since I started this whole process, and yes, this takes long enough that I've had a couple of drinks since I started. Please reserve judgment, if possible. Yeah, we're about to talk about the prequel trilogy, episodes 1 through 3, and there's an Anakin Skywalker. He's building. It's not robots because it's Star Wars. It's the other ones, the droids. Yeah, he's building droids. I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't be bothered to do the research to give you the context for this. Like, you know how to use Google. If you really want to if you really want to figure it out, just look it up. It's all right there. You're fine. You can handle it. Star Wars prequel trilogy. Anakin building droids. You got it. You can figure it out. I think I'm done. You can handle the rest of this Star Wars talk by yourself. Funcast, the podcast where we do things that are fun, coming back at you. 3, 2, 1. Fun.
Why did Anakin build C-3PO and then never spend time with him ever again? He mostly spends time with R2-D2, who was on Padme's ship, but Padme, like, never acknowledges that R2 exists after that. Shouldn't it have been the other way around?
Counterpoint.
Yeah?
Do you remember Anakin?
Yeah. Do you not?
I don't know. Based on what little I remember about him, that sort of makes sense.
Yeah. I guess.
He builds a robot. The robot turns out to be a loser. He turns around and hangs out with the cool robot.
Well, I'm more talking about the fact that, like he, like, has this relationship with the robot that he didn't build. And, like, so far as, so, like, in the Clone Wars, there's an arc about him losing R2-D2 and, like, willing to, like, sacrifice an entire platoon to save this droid that is a droid that his girlfriend just had on her ship. And then that droid goes and becomes the best friend of their son. And I'm like, it's weird that he didn't build that one.
Well, he built it when he was a kid, right?
Well, he built C-3PO when he was a kid.
Right, so he built a loser robot when he was a kid.
Oh, yeah, so you're just saying that, like, he was like, I built this guy as a joke. He can go through life sucking. Well, I don't care. I'm going to go hang out with the better droid.
Or he was a kid and he couldn't build a better droid. And when the droid came to fruition and he realized what a loser it was, he ditched it for a better one.
He didn't even ditch it before it came to fruition. He got, like, freed and left his mom with the loser droid and never came back to see it.
This just sounds like Anakin to me. Again,
yeah, no, you're right.
I've only ever watched those films probably once. I don't know if I've ever rewatched them, and yet that feels completely appropriate for that character.
We'll do an episode where we watch them.
Oh, one of our famous watch along episodes that we promise in your episodes and then always follow through on.
Yeah. We're on episode 4. Give me a break. I made an Instagram.
He did. Yes, audience, I would like to, I'm not going to rescind anything because it did take him...
Yeah, it's retraction time, baby.
It did take him 4 episodes, but Ricky did make an Instagram.
Didn't I bring it up on the second episode?
Well, you brought it up?
Yeah.
So you had an idea and then failed to follow through on it for 2 episodes.
Well, because you were talking through most of the first episode.
Oh, as opposed to what else was I supposed to be doing on my podcast?
About all your rules and shit.
So my talking in episode 1 prevented you from following through on your own Instagram idea for 2 episodes?
Yeah, I'm going with this.
That timeline checks out perfectly.
Well, my point is, if I brought it, if the audience didn't know about the Instagram until episode 2, then you can't say he took 4 episodes, you have to say he took 3 episodes.
Oh, my mistake.
You're trying to make me look bad at my episode again.
No, you're doing a really... We're having a lot of fun. A lot of heated and excitable fun here on episode 4 of the Fun Cast. Only fun things allowed.
Fun Cast, the podcast where we do things that are fun. Moving
What's
on.
Our next fun thing?
Okay, well, first thing, I'm going to promise that my next... pop culture thing isn't going to be about Star Wars because that's come up twice now.
Have to wonder how much of whatever audience we have potentially built up by now will be interested in a full 12-minute conversation about a very obsolete extended universe portion of the Star Wars lore.
None, but I wanted to talk about something that I thought was fun.
Oh.
On the Funcast. Podcast where we do things that are fun.
I want the audience to know that Ricky has to fact check himself on his own title every time that he reads it.
I am fully looking down at my notes every single time.
This one's going to stick.
Good. I think so too.
Oh, Ricky.
Yeah.
I almost forgot we were going to have a recurring Beavis and Butthead segment.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Did you do your research?
I did.
Give me...
I asked my boyfriend about it.
You had someone else do your research.
Well, he knew.
All right. Well, give me your Beavis and Butthead fact.
So he told me that apparently in the first episode of Daria, like when she had her spinoff show, she mentions that the high school she went to with Beavis and Butthead, that they also attended, that there was like a gas leak there.
Okay. Whoa, wait, this is two pieces of information, I feel like. Because piece of information one is Beavis and Butthead are high schoolers.
You know, I didn't think about that. I fully thought they were adults.
They look like adults.
Yeah.
Okay, that is brand new information.
Yeah.
Piece of information number two is they're idiots because of a gas leak.
Yes.
Okay, well, that checks out.
That makes sense.
That is by far the less surprising of those two facts.
Yeah.
All
right, what's your fact?
I'm going to break one of my own podcasting rules. I'm going to read off of an article on my phone.
I don't care about the rules.
I'm going to read the first sentence of this article from MTV News, published in July of 2020.
Okay.
Comedy Central has announced an expansive deal with Emmy Award-winning Mike Judge to reimagine MTV's seminal Gen X-defining Beavis and Butthead, as well as additional spin-offs and specials. So to me, the central concept of this sentence isn't the important thing. I don't care that Comedy Central is reviving it.
Yeah.
What I care about is, first of all, I didn't know that this was an MTV show.
I had no idea. I had no clue. I would have guessed, I thought it would have been a Comedy Central, like, from the beginning.
Well, is Comedy Central old enough to have been...
I don't know. I feel like Comedy Central has always existed in my mind, but I have no idea.
We're young little lads.
We are.
We're young millennials.
We are.
We are young millennials.
Weird.
So it's an MTV show, and apparently it's Gen X defining, which is probably why we don't understand it as young millennials.
What are our parents?
Gen X, right?
Yeah.
Our intern is shaking his head no. Apparently our parents are... Oh no! I guess maybe our parents are boomers?
That makes sense.
Young boomers, probably, yeah, right?
Probably at like the end of it.
Yeah. Well, that's why my parents have never once mentioned Beavis and Butthead. I actually can't imagine either of my parents watching MTV at any point in history.
Yeah.
They're a little bit too square for that.
You know, and like I wish I would have asked him for a fact, but I think my dad has watched Beavis and Butthead, and I guess he'll be the person I go to for my next fact, because maybe he'll know.
Well, make sure he doesn't tell you too much.
Well, we only right, want I'll cut
one
him
fact
off.
At a time.
Yeah.
Okay, so this week we've learned that Beavis and Butthead were high schoolers.
And suffered from a gas leak.
Well, in Daria canon,
in Daria they suffered canon, yes. But a gas leak. Is Daria also made by Mike Judge?
I have no clue. I only allowed myself one fact.
Okay, yeah, good, same.
And we learned that it aired on MTV, which is news to me.
Yeah.
And that it is a Gen X defining television show. We've summarized. I don't know if we know enough to do another reimagining of Beavis and Butthead.
Oh no, I think we need at least 10 more episodes of this.
Okay, we should probably move on.
Yeah, we should. All right. Next, do you remember last time when we had fun?
Oh, absolutely.
And we had your beer tasting thing.
Yeah.
With the very mean name.
What fond memories.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do another test this time. Taste test. Oh. Test time.
Taste,
it's
going to
be called Taste Test Test Time. Roll the theme song. Did it, did. Put in a theme song here. Did it, did.
Am I just putting in the same theme song? Or
what? No, just write a Taste Test Test Time theme song.
You're asking me to write two theme songs?
Just go like, did it, did.
Oh.
Something short. I want a jingle.
Okay. Well, wait, one more time real quick. Tell me what you want it to sound like.
No, not that. Make up something new. Because that was the more you know from reading Rainbow, I think.
It probably wasn't enough for us to have any copyright issues. We'll be fine.
I just did the whole thing, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, so this week on Taste Test, Test Time, I have brought three wines, three Cabernet Sauvignons, of varying different price levels. One is very cheap, like $1 to $5, I can't remember. One is like a middle-of-the-line one, like $10 to $15. And then what is $50? I bought a $50 wine for this.
Wait. 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 Yeah. Let's do some math real quick.
Yeah.
You and let's be conservative about this. Let's assume you spent on the lower end of your ranges.
Yeah.
Let's say you spent $2 on the first wine.
Okay.
$12 on the second wine.
Okay.
And $50 on the third wine.
Yeah.
Ricky, you spent $64 on this episode of the podcast.
Yes, I told you I'm committed to fun, goddammit.
Is this going to be $64 worth of fun?
I hope so. So we're going to blindly test these, and we're going to determine, one, which is our favorite and why, and then we're going to guess which we think is the most expensive one and which is the least expensive one.
Okay.
Doesn't that sound fun?
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
Okay.
You're really classing up uncultured taste here.
Yeah.
Bringing in wine. Pendant
title, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's do it. All right, we're back. We sent our intern out. He bought some wine, and he has poured it for us, and we're ready to taste. All right. Yeah. So we're going to start with number one.
Number one.
Pick that nasty guy up. Brad, what are your thoughts just smelling this?
It smells like it's not going to be abrasive.
Yeah, it's very pleasant.
Like this one's, I think this one's going to go down smooth.
Yeah, it's it feels very fruity. So.
Yeah, it won't offend.
Yeah, let's taste.
I love these tasting segments.
Just so much silence.
There's so much editing. It's fine, but it's just like full half minutes of silence that I get to edit out. Maybe a little bit of. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's nice. I don't know. What are your thoughts on the flavor?
It feels very true to form.
Yeah.
You know, it's dry in the way that I would expect a cab to be dry. Mm-hmm. Did we establish that these are all cabs?
I think I mentioned that they would be cabs, yeah.
That is what we sent the intern to buy. Yes. I mean, I guess we don't know whether or not he actually bought cabs, yeah. But we have to hope that we can trust our intern.
I just got a thumbs up from the intern.
All right. Let's talk about the wine. What are your thoughts on this wine?
It's a fruity bouquet, as I expected it to be.
Oh.
I'm going to take another sip really quick.
While you're taking a sip, I want to mention, I'm really glad we're doing wine now because I feel like you have the upper hand over me on wine, whereas I tend to have the upper hand over you in beer. We're evening the playing field here.
I appreciate that, and I would like to say, I'd like to live up to that as I continue this. But yeah.
Deliver.
It's very fruity. It's just very, very smooth. Like you said, it goes down easily. Mm-hmm. I overall, I like it. It's a good wine.
Yeah, agreed. Fruity, dry, but not in an abrasive way.
Mm-hmm. And a smooth drink.
Tannins?
Right? Okay, see, now that's a thing that I don't understand. What is a tannin?
There's just a compound. Okay. Makes it. That's the compound that makes it taste dry, right?
Got it.
That's like the part of a grape where you're like, shit, is this a grape or is this a little dry little guy?
A grape or a dry little guy?
you never can. The age you never old can question. Tell.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, that was a pleasant first one.
I kind of feel like I kind of want to keep drinking that wine, but we have to move on.
Yeah, palate cleanse.
Palate cleanser. We've got. All right, we've got our palate cleansers. We've got some sourdough pretzels. We've got some water. shoot us a comment if sourdough pretzels are the wrong palate cleanser for wine. We truly don't know and probably don't really care.
All right, wine number two. We're picking it up. We're sniffing. I don't know about you, but this doesn't have that much of a smell to it.
I agree. I think if we had started with this wine, I would have said the same thing that I said about the first wine, where it smells like it will go down smooth.
Yeah.
But coming off of that first wine, it almost smells like it won't have enough flavor, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm honestly worried, though, that, like, the smell is, like, an omen for bad things to come.
Oh, it's hiding all of its evils below the surface.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, it's just going to be the silent killer. And in that, it's just going to not smell like much and taste like shit. But,
oh.
Yeah.
The classic silent killer.
Yeah, you know.
Smells like nothing, tastes like shit.
Yeah. All right, let's taste it.
Dive right in. This is pretty much exactly what I expected from the smell.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
This is one of those grape juicy wines.
What's interesting, though, is I feel like the other one was very, very fruit forward. Like, you got all the flavor, like, it just would punch you in the tongue right away. I feel like this one, you don't get it until, like, it's been in your mouth for a few moments.
Yeah, no, like, all the grapes are sitting in the back seat, and they're not even noisy grapes. They're, like, the grapes that sit in the back and play Game Boy for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then after 3 hours, they might complain a little bit about how they have to use the bathroom, but after 3 hours, that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking, it's like if you took a butterfly net and, like, put some grapes into it and spun that net around, like, the grapes would just be, like, you know, like, stuck in the back of the net because of the force, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, so you get the wine in your mouth and you're just like, oh, wine. But then you're like, oh, God, there's grapes in the back.
Oh, so this is the experience of drinking this wine is the same experience as eating a butterfly net with grapes in the back that's being spun around your head.
Metaphorically.
Metaphorically speaking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not my favorite, to be honest.
It's not offensive.
It's not offensive, but it's not great.
No, like, I would almost like it better if it were a little bit offensive.
Yeah. Agreed.
Know? Yeah. Sometimes you want a little bit of a punch in the lips.
Yeah. Palate cleanse.
And cleanse. You ready for wine number three?
Let's do it. This is so weird. This one also, not much of a smell.
I'm getting a lot more than the last one.
More, yes, but, like, to me, it's still just not that much.
I don't think any of these are going to be offensive.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit surprising. I would have expected at least one cab to have been offensive somewhere in those price points.
Yeah. Taste.
All right.
I find this one offensive. It's very sour.
I think
at the end.
I think you and I are going to have disagreements about our rankings of these beers, but
wines. Good.
I have a one-track mind over here. I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right.
Oh, wait, I want to hear your description, though. Like, give me more than offensive. I want to hear specifics.
It's just like, it doesn't taste like much of anything. It's kind of sour, and it leaves, like, a bitter taste in my mouth.
Hmm.
Not very specific flavors, just experiences that I have with this.
Yeah, I can see where you're getting at with that.
What are you? Come at me. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, I agree.
Beat me up.
I don't completely agree, but I do agree that there's a less of a flavor palette to this one. I think it's a little bit more one note. I don't know if I find the one note as offensive as you, though.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, I think one note is a very good way of describing it because it's just like the other two were more complex. I felt like there was a lot more going on. Like, you know, at the beginning it was one thing, at the end it was something else. This is just the same thing all the way through.
I'm gonna hazard a guess. I mean, it's not a guess because this is what I'm tasting, but this is my sensation of it. I'm reading it as dry and plummy.
I'm dry, gonna take another sip.
And plummy.
Whisper that into the mic.
Okay.
Dry and plummy.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, dry and plummy. And I think like what you're reading is sourness. I'm just reading as the dryness and the tannins coming off the back end of it.
Sure. I see that.
I definitely don't find it offensive.
You know,
okay.
And that's something I have with wines, that even the ones I don't like, I eventually will have a few more sips and I'm like, this is fine. Kind of getting that here, where I'm like, okay, after I've kind of gotten used to the very boring roller coaster this takes you on, I'm like, it's fine. It's just not my favorite.
I also have to wonder if, because this is the final wine we've tried, it was inevitably going to be a duller sensation than the first one or the second one, just by, I mean, we've been trying to cleanse our palate, but there's only so much you can do.
So what happens if I try the first one again?
Let's go for it. Let's both pull that first one out again.
Still has the better...
Interesting.
I think it has more of a scent to me now, honestly.
To me, it had more of an abrasive scent, actually, coming off of the other two. But the flavor is still very nice.
Yeah. Still very fruity.
I think you described it as a bouquet.
Floral bouquet.
A floral bouquet.
That's something that somebody said in The Hobbit, I think, about a wine.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
You're channeling your inner Tolkien.
Yeah, exactly.
Tolkien?
I don't actually know.
Tolkien.
All right. Are you ready to rank?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guide me through the feedback you'd like to receive. And if you can ask me to go first. You can go first.
I'd like you to go first, and I would just like you to rank them from your favorite to least favorite, and why? Why do you think that?
Okay. The first one was my favorite, no question. There was like a nice... It tasted... There was more complexity of flavor to it than either of the other two. It smelled nice. It tasted nice. I would say it was the driest of the three, which sometimes turned me off to a wine, but in this case, it worked in its favor because it didn't just taste like grape juice.
Yeah.
The third one was my second favorite. It didn't taste like a whole lot, but the one note it had going for it, I thought was decently nice. Like I was saying, that dry plummy flavor worked for me, and it wasn't too sweet. I mean, it was sweeter than that first one, but it wasn't overly sweet. The second one was my least favorite, and that's specifically because it was one note and it was too sweet.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I thought the same order for sure. The first one was my favorite. It had like the most flavor, it had the most body, it was the most interesting to me. Second one, it honestly felt like a diminished version of the first one. Diminished scent, diminished flavor, but it was still there, it was still interesting, I still enjoyed it. The last one, it was just boring, just one note, just not much going on. And yeah, that's my ranking.
Oh, so you liked the first the best, the second best, and the third the worst.
Did I mishear you?
Yeah, I might have misspoken. I liked the first best, the third second best, and the second the third best.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I just misunderstood.
I do want to get the chance, though, to talk about what I think is the most and least expensive.
Of course, that is our next question.
Ah.
Which do you think is which?
Do you mind if you lead? Because I feel very solid in my opinion about this.
Yes.
And I don't want to lead you in any way.
Okay. I think, and this is mostly just based off of gut instinct, but also because of, you know, some experience with varying wines of different price points, I think the most expensive is number two. Because, I'm just taking a sip. The more expensive wines I've had, I feel like the least interesting or the less interesting they are. And, like, granted, like, that... Regardless, I just think that, like, because it has an interesting flavor, but it's not too crazy, it's just, like, that's somebody who, like, knows, like, who just, like, probably made a wine that's just, like, I want it to be this, and I used good grapes, and that's it.
Okay.
Maybe a weird reasoning, but I think the middle of the line is number one, because I feel like, in my experience at least, your 10 to 15 bottle... or $10 to $15 bottles of wine, there's just a lot of variety there, and you never really know what you're gonna get. But I just feel like they're always like a good, fun, flavorful wine, and this just reminds me of like other wines I've had. And then I think number three, our boring boy, I think that's the cheapest because it's again kind of one note and boring.
Okay, I can respect that. And you do drink a lot more wine than me, so I'm willing to bet that you... I would put more money on you than I would on myself. However, I do feel pretty confident about my opinion here. The only wine that you and I agree on is wine number one.
Yeah.
I think that wine number one is middle of the line.
Okay.
I think that's the $10 to $15. And I agree with you. I feel like most of the wines that I've enjoyed the most come in that price range.
Yeah.
And that's honestly a lot of my reasoning for it. I think that wine number two is the cheapest.
Interesting.
And I actually feel pretty strongly about that because...
Why?
It tastes... It's very... Sometimes I would expect the cheapest wine to be the most offensive, but sometimes it's just going to be the one that tastes the most like grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
Number two tasted like grape juice. It tasted like slightly watered down grape juice. It was one note. It was too bland to be interesting. Yeah, it was grape juice.
I fully disagree with that.
And wine number three, I think, is the most expensive. And the reason I think wine number three is the most expensive is because it's subtle, but it's not subtle in a grape juice. It's not subtle in a watered-down grape juice way. It's subtle, I think, in ways that I probably don't completely understand because I'm the uncultured taste in this pair in terms of wine. And I don't know my wine notes. Like, dry plum is a guess, but... That's all I get from number three. And I think it would not surprise me to learn that an expensive wine was high quality enough to not be overly tanniny and dry, but it would still have some tannin dryness because a cab should. And number three does have some tannin dryness.
Yeah.
But it's still got some flavor, it's just subtle, which I think is sometimes the hallmark of a wine that's meant for people who know a lot about wine.
Mm-hmm.
So just to summarize, number two is the cheapest, number one is mid-range, number three is the most expensive.
Okay.
Do we want to check in with our intern on the actual facts and statistics?
We do.
On these wines?
Intern, come on over.
What did you say? You both like number one the most, right?
Yes, yeah, number one was our favorite.
Okay, but you, what was your for number one?
For me, number one was the middle of the line, the $10 to $15 one.
I agreed.
Okay, so number one was the most expensive.
Really?
Oh.
Yes. Interesting.
So you both liked the most expensive one the most, but thought it would not be the most expensive.
We just don't trust our own judgment.
Yeah, apparently.
Number two, Brad was right. It is the cheapest. It was Big Sipper.
Big Sipper!
Available for $5.
A house favorite.
And number three was the mid-range at $13.
Oh, wow.
Well... Let's give credit to these wines, both good and bad. Wine number one was The Calling, coming out of Alexander Valley, which sounds like California. Wine number two was Big Sipper Wine, and I have to doubt that they're even willing to advertise where their wine comes from.
It's California.
Oh, another California wine. And wine number three was Carson Ridge, which is, I think, Paso Robles? Is that the location?
Yeah.
Paso Robles? Could be California. Southern California, maybe?
I don't actually know.
Well, That was Taste and Wine.
It was Taste Test Test Time.
Ah, yes. Yeah, Taste Test Test Time.
By Ricky and Bradley. Bradley approved and Bradley loved because it was fun and we're having fun tonight. Ah, yes. Paso Robles is in California.
Oh, so we had a representation of three of California's finest.
Yes. Big Sipper, we salute you. And thank you to our intern for buying the wine and setting everything up.
Yeah.
Revealing the results.
We promise.
Appreciate you. We also don't pay you.
And we promise that next time we will have the business credit card set up. You'll have to cover this one, but the next time around,
yeah,
we'll make sure that we've got that business account set up.
We're not reimbursing you for this.
Oh, no, not at all.
No.
The university should cover that, right?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
So wine number one was The Calling. It's a 2017 Cabernet Sauvignon from the Alexander Valley in California. The bottle says, the key to success? When Jim Nance and Peter Deutsch met... That's not Deutsch. That's Deutsch? How do you pronounce D-E-U-T-S-C-H? Deutsch?
I think it's Deutsch. That's Peter Deutsch. I think it's Deutsch.
When Jim Nance and Peter Deutsch met, they discovered they both found success by pursuing a calling in life. They also shared a passion for exceptional wine. Now they have partnered to make handcrafted wines sourced from the finest vineyards in Sonoma Valley. Sonoma Valley? Sonoma Valley? Sonoma Valley.
Sonoma.
This wine is meticulously produced by Wayne Donaldson to reflect the quality and character of the Alexander Valley vineyards, exhibiting elegant tannins and a touch of earthiness.
I see that.
Yeah. We had tannins. We talked about tannins.
We talked about tannins a lot.
Wine number two. Big Sipper Wine. A Cabernet Sauvignon. From California. Under California skies. I'm going to struggle to read this with a straight face. Under California skies come California wines.
You're $5. Calm down.
We guarded each night by prominent watchmen. Most powerful and protective in summer climes. What? Hold on. That was a sentence. This is a sentence.
Read that again for me.
We, comma, guarded each night by prominent watchmen, comma, most powerful and protective in summer climes, period. What does that sentence mean?
Wait, read it one more time.
We, guarded each night by prominent watchmen, most powerful and protective in summer climes.
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh my god. Under the Big Sipper, we wines become yours.
Jesus Christ.
Big Sipper, tempt a taste of the stars. I think we nailed those tasting notes, actually.
We really did.
I mean, almost verbatim with some of that.
Yeah.
Big Sipper, we salute you. What does that second sentence mean?
I need to look at it.
Read it. Yeah, you have to read it. I think that the we is the wine. This is the wine speaking in the royal we, as the Big Sipper deserves.
Wait. This is so fucking dumb.
Did you figure it out?
I think it's saying... It says, we, and then guarded each night by prominent watchmen. Guarded each night by prominent watchmen is describing we, or what's happening with we, right?
Yes.
And then it says, comma, most powerful and protective in summer climes. That's talking about the watchmen.
Oh, so this is just god-awful.
It's terribly written because it's like two levels deep. And there's nothing happening in this sentence. The subject is we, and that's it. Like, it ends there. Like, the sentence is we.
We.
That's it.
It is the royal we.
It's the royal we. This is...
They can get away with it. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
After reading that, this wine tastes worse.
Yep.
All right. I'm gonna get a clean read of wine number three. The mid-range wine.
Mid-range.
This is Carson Ridge, a 2020 Cabernet Sauvignon from Paso Robles in California. This Cabernet Sauvignon embodies all the richness of the Paso Robles appellation. Deep color, ripe berry aromas, medium tannins, touch of oak, and a lush mouthfeel. Enjoy now with your favorite hearty entrees or soft cheeses. I think you got, did you get berry? I feel like you maybe gave berry as a note.
I don't think for this one. I didn't give much for this one, to be honest.
I know that the audience can fact check me, but I'm going to give you credit for that.
I'll take it. I think I remember describing this as offensive, sour, and unappealing.
No. That's wine.
That's wine three.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
No,
Yeah.
You're thinking of my description for one, because I said it was very fruity.
I still can't believe that wine number one is the $50 bottle. That's what's throwing me off.
What'd we learn?
I think the primary thing that we learned is we need to trust our own judgment.
Yeah.
Because we liked the most expensive wine the most.
We did, yeah. And because I definitely assumed that just based on my experience that it was like, oh, that's my favorite wine. It can't be the most expensive one. Because I've had expensive ones before and they haven't impressed me. But I think that has caused me to underestimate expensive wines. That I'm like, well, there's no correlation between price and quality, but there is. Could be.
My number two takeaway, I must just not really know. Either I don't know what plum tastes like, or Carson Ridge doesn't know what plum tastes like.
Can I tell you, I've never had a plum.
You've never had a plum?
Never.
Can we do a plum taste test on our podcast?
As long as you cut it up, because like my cousins always loved plums and they would just eat them like apples and they would have that big pit in there.
Oh, yeah.
And just as a kid, I would see like the purple outside, the weird juicy orange inside, and then just the big pit. And I was just like, I don't want to eat that. That's weird.
I can cut yours up, but would it ruin your tasting experience if I ate one? Just eating it like an apple?
No, it's fine. It might trigger me, but...
Oh, okay. It'll make for good content.
Yeah. The thing that would really trigger me is, and I'm calling out my cousins and my aunt on this one, they used to, and they probably still do, eat tomatoes like apples. And you know me, sure. I hate tomatoes. But the thing that made it worse is they would take the tomato and they would salt it before they bit it every time. And like a lot of salt.
That's incredible. They know what they like.
And my dad said that was like my aunt's like favorite snack growing up. So like the tomato did not fall far from the vine there.
Well, watch out for our upcoming segment. Fruits that Ricky has never tasted taste test.
I've had tomato pieces. I've never had a slice of tomato. I hate tomato. That'll never happen. I won't do it.
Not even for the podcast?
Not even for the podcast. I won't do it. I cannot eat a slice of tomato.
Not even for me, Ricky?
Yes, not even for you.
Wow. Well, all right. Let's slide back into fun.
Oh. All right. It's time for our last segment. It's our improv segment.
Oh, right. The segment that we famously only have every two episodes when you're planning episodes.
Yeah, because for whatever reason, in your segment at this point, you're always getting these recordings sent in, and I don't understand how that's happening.
As much as I like to be in control of the podcast, it is nice to outsource some of the labor, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. So we're going to do something a little different this time. We're going to play an improv game.
Oh.
We're going to play a classic improv game. We're going to play Fortunately, Unfortunately.
How much resemblance does this bear to Zip Zap Zop?
What is Zip Zap Zop? Please explain.
Zip.
Zap.
Zop.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's completely different.
I mean, this article is describing it as a warm-up, but we're going to do it as a game.
We could probably stand to warm up to improv as a general practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This game is really simple and can be played with just two people or with a large crowd.
Oh.
The first improviser says a statement starting with fortunately. Then the next improviser finds a way to say yes, and that statement...
Are you failing to yes and the description of this improv game?
Okay, I'm going to read this. I'm gonna read this as is.
Read it as is.
My stupid brain. Then the next improviser finds a way to say yes, and that statement while twisting it to something unfortunate, starting their line with unfortunately.
Oh, I know what they mean, but yeah, they really...
they wrote it poorly.
These are clearly improvisers and not writers.
Yeah. The first person will respond with another fortunately statement in a direct response to the previous statement, followed by unfortunately. The goal is to tell a kind of story with these statements, ending when you come to a natural conclusion.
Oh. Huh.
So, depending on how long this takes, I think that one of us should start as fortunately, and then the other person does an unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then, if we have time, we'll flip, and then the other person will be fortunately, and then the other person will be unfortunately. I said other person too much.
No, that was the perfect number of other people.
Thank you. All right. Do you want to get started?
Am I good improviser or bad improviser in this game?
Do you mean are you fortunately or unfortunately?
Yeah, exactly.
I think you should be fortunately and I'll be unfortunately.
So I start.
Yes.
Fortunately, none of the three wines purchased by the intern were poisoned.
Unfortunately, they all tasted like shit, and the whole dinner party was ruined.
Fortunately, we didn't want the dinner party here in the first place, and we kind of just wanted a quiet night in.
Unfortunately, Aunt Jan is really pissed now, and she has a lot of money.
Fortunately, she did die on the way home and did not manage to take us out of her will in time.
Unfortunately, the will was set on fire in the car accident, and no one knows where anything is going.
Fortunately, scientists did just discover a way to take smoke and reconstruct it as the paper from which it had been consumed.
Unfortunately, everything in the will is left to her dog.
Fortunately, that dog is our best friend.
Unfortunately, that dog has gambled all the money on the stock market.
Fortunately, a famous painting of that dog gambling on the stock market was sold for a large quantity of money, and that sum came directly to us.
Unfortunately, it's all drug money.
Fortunately, we love drugs.
Unfortunately, we didn't pay for those drugs.
Fortunately, we live in a lawless country.
Unfortunately, the police are coming.
Fortunately, they're just coming for the next dinner party.
Unfortunately, all of the wine is poisoned this time.
Fortunately, none of them can arrest us for our crimes.
Unfortunately, our aunt that died started recording our house, and they know that we poisoned the wine.
Fortunately,
never mind. Cut that one out. That contradicts what we just said. What was your last one?
Fortunately, they can no longer arrest us for our crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, their ghosts live in our house now.
Fortunately, we can sell tickets to the attraction of Cop Ghost 3, the same as the next two houses next door, but more cops.
Unfortunately, an exorcist is coming.
Fortunately, they're willing to play a triple for a ticket.
Unfortunately, they also died in the house.
I have a sidebar question.
Yeah.
How long does this go?
It's until we think we've come to a natural conclusion.
Okay. All right. Circling back in.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the ghost of an exorcist can't exorcise other ghosts, so we've still retained the cop ghosts from which we draw our primary income.
Unfortunately, our dead aunt is also in the house and is scaring all our guests away.
Fortunately, that's kind of what they paid for.
Unfortunately, we have to live with our dead aunt now.
Fortunately, at least she is dead.
And scene.
Yeah, I think unfortunately is harder.
Yeah, unfortunately is hard.
I wanna give it a go with the vice versa.
Let's do it.
I want you to be good improviser. I'll be bad improviser.
All right. Fortunately, I just passed the bar exam.
Unfortunately, you've already been kicked out of every bar in town, and you're not allowed back.
Fortunately, I can open my own bar.
Unfortunately, you don't have the funds.
Fortunately, my rich aunt just died.
Unfortunately, she stipulated in her will that you have to name the bar after her.
Fortunately, we had a good relationship, and I'm happy to do so.
Unfortunately, every time you see that sign, it makes you cry a little bit.
Fortunately, the staff at my bar is very supportive and is happy to pick up the slack when I need a day off.
Unfortunately, they do ask for a dollar raise every time they do that.
Fortunately, business is good, and I can give them that raise.
Unfortunately, business is good because the biggest drug linchpin in town is located at your bar.
Fortunately, they're pretty nice, and they give me free drugs to help with my sadness.
Unfortunately, they're not the kind of drugs that help with sadness.
Fortunately, I've forgotten about my aunt.
Unfortunately, you've also forgotten everything else.
Fortunately, I can start my life anew.
Unfortunately, the bar has been left in chaos and ruin without your gentle guiding hand.
Fortunately, I found a really cool bar to go to that I've never been to before.
Unfortunately, everybody recognizes you and seems to be really bummed out about it.
Fortunately, I found a bunch of new friends.
Unfortunately, they keep asking you for dollar raises for some reason.
Fortunately, I've been able to get a job at the bar in order to pay these people their $1.
Unfortunately, that doesn't leave you with enough money to get by on your own.
Fortunately, I can rough it pretty well, and I live in a dumpster outside of the bar.
Unfortunately, that is very specifically the used banana peel dumpster.
Fortunately, I've learned to sustain myself with banana tea.
Unfortunately, the bar staff is unwilling to give you boiling water to make your banana tea.
Fortunately, it rains a lot in Seattle, and I can collect that water and heat it up over a trash can fire in my dumpster.
Unfortunately, the fumes from your trash can fires frequently cause you to collapse.
Fortunately, there's a nice doctor across the street who always picks me up and takes me into his practice to help me out.
Unfortunately, he does ask for you to donate an organ every time he practices on you, and you're starting to run out.
Fortunately, I've started to send my friends from the bar to go to this doctor in order to get him more business.
unfortunately, they've also been donating all their organs to this doctor.
Fortunately, this doctor says he has big plans for us after we expire.
Unfortunately, this doctor says he has big plans for us after we expire.
Fortunately, I'll be dead, and I won't have to find out what those plans are. And scene.
And scene. Damn. A lot of death in our improv today.
Yeah. I mean, we kept killing people in that first scene.
It is the fun cast.
Yeah, it's the fun cast. The hang on.
Pause for script read.
It is the fun cast. The podcast where we do things that are fun.
The fun cast. The podcast where we do things that are fun.
Brad, oh, go ahead.
No.
How do we end the show?
It's your episode, man. You know what I've realized? You know what? I need to visit something else before we end the show, which is I don't remember ending the show last time.
Yeah, how do we end the show?
I don't know.
Did we just stop? Did I read credits again? Remember when I read credits?
Yeah, and I hummed the whole time.
It was good. Wait, I think I remember. I think I sang a song while you read credits last time.
Oh, okay. How do you want to end this episode? Sorry, I sidetracked us. I've just been thinking about that for two full weeks.
No, because that's okay.
I could not remember how we ended that episode.
If only we edit these, then we could find out. But we don't edit the show.
No, never.
Never.
This is completely unedited, completely raw, unfiltered, unscripted, unprecedented, unsolicited.
Unobtainable. Remember Unobtainium from Avatar?
No, I don't.
Wait, you don't remember that?
I don't remember anything from that movie, Ricky.
That movie was 3 hours long.
How long will the sequel be?
Hopefully 3 hours.
And that was Popic Topic.
No, it's Pop Goes the Culture.
That's not the end. How are we going to end this episode?
No, I don't. We can't end it there. Brad, give me a beat.
What kind of beat do you want?
Hey everybody, we're gonna have a show and it's gonna be done right now, yo. I had a good time. It was a lot of fun and it's over. Oh no, oh my god, the watchmen from the great field are coming. They're gonna take us away to the field and they're gonna turn us into wine tomorrow. I hope you drink us, we'll be delicious. We're gonna die now, goodbye everyone.
Oh, that was the end of that.
Yeah. That was it.
Nice.
Good night.
Good night. I love editing.
You're sabotaging my episode.
Coffee was a terrible idea.
I know. I'm glad.
Rowdy.